Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard. You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Welcome again to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and you're listening to it via TalkTainmentRadio.com, and this is radio the way it should be heard. Our topic today is VGQ. What it is, what is it, and how does it work? And Mr. Fuller's been explaining that. We've been reading Gmails right now, and I guess we will continue to do that until such a time when we can entertain a phone call. But if you do want to call, you can by calling 1-877-932-9766. And hopefully the usual suspects are not in play. But anyway, VGQ, Victims Guaranteed Qualifications. Let's go back to the Gmails here. Mr. Fuller, question is, when a suspected white supremacist calls another suspected white supremacist a racist, what is the response from a victim of racism, white supremacy, if any? And then there's a second part. Mr. Fuller?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. It says, when a suspected white supremacist calls another suspected white supremacist a racist, what is the response from a victim of racism, white supremacy?
None. You just observe it. Or rather, well, I won't say it's no response. It's always a response. You respond by silence. But you do observe it and take note of it, that one white person is calling another white person, and you suspect both of them could be racist, but one is calling another a racist. So you just observe that and take note. And if you make reference to it at all in the future, you always point out not that that person who was called a racist is a racist. You point out that another white person said that that person is a racist. Always make sure you include both parties, all right, if they're white, that this white person called this other white person a racist. Now, if they ask you, what do you have to say about that person saying that about the other person, you say, I just told you. That's it. He said that this lady or this gentleman is a racist. Mr. So-and-so said that Mr. So-and-so is a racist. And they say, well, what do you have to say about it? Well, just what I just told you. You just keep repeating the same thing. Mm-hmm. See, in a code, you keep repeating the same thing.
Okay.
You don't deviate from what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You lock on to it and just keep riding it. I don't care how many times you ask you a question, the answer is always the same. That's codification.
The code says blank, blank, blank. This is what the code says. This is your response as a victim.
That's my response. I'm not moving from that, because now if the person asks me, what do I think about both persons, I'll say, well, what the code requires me to think. And if a person asks me, well, what does the code require you to think according to the code that I have written, I'm required, Neely Fuller, to say, I suspect both of them are racist if they're classified as white in a racist system.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Based on logic. Because I don't have a master list of who is a racist and who is not. And I do know that I'm not qualified in the system of white supremacy to call a white person a racist and prove it. And why is that? Because there's nobody I can prove it by except another white person. And anybody who tries to do other than that is going to discover that sometimes with a great shock. If you're black in the system of white supremacy and you call a white person a racist, and that white person says, okay, you call me a racist with your black self. Now, prove that I'm a racist. Okay? That's the moment of truth. You, as a black person, according to the code, better run and find a white person who will verify that this white person is a racist.
Okay.
Because you, as a black person, cannot prove that a white person is a racist.
Okay. So then,
no way to do it.
So then it's imperative that we, as victims of racism, white supremacy, stay in the codified way or codified manner in addressing the issues that that are coming to our life. Is that correct?
And particularly when you start name calling and whatnot. If a black person calls a white person a racist, stop and think about it, folks. Stop and think about it. You do have the power to do that, to call that white person a racist. But now here's where you get a wake-up call. Prove it. Prove it. All that white person has to say is, okay, you call me a racist, buddy. All right, prove it.
Okay, so now...
prove it. I mean, where is your proof, and who are you going to prove it by?
Okay.
You don't have nobody
okay.
that can prove it other than another white person, which is the same as the other white person, now making the decision about whether or not I'm a racist.
Okay.
That's the way that works. That's a wake-up call about the reality of white supremacy.
Yes, sir.
If you're black, you cannot prove, you can't even prove the existence of white supremacy.
Okay.
Why? Because you're a prisoner of war of mm-hmm. the system of white supremacy. That's why.
Now.
You can't prove nothing.
For clarity purposes, there's been a lot of talk about Donald Trump and his administration. And I've heard other and many white people call Donald Trump a racist. Many of them and his administration with their racist, homophobic tactics. But in the codified manner, if someone were to ask me, the correct way would be in a codified way, and I'm asking this as a question, to say, according to so-and-so, you know, another white person, according to so-and-so and many other white people, they have called Mr. Trump and his administration racist. I'm not calling him that, but according to what has been said by other white people, they would say that he's racist. Would that be a correct approach in answering a question that was asked of you of that?
Absolutely. You just point out the person by name that called Mr. Trump a racist. That white person that called Mr. Trump a racist. You say he said that Mr. Trump is a racist. I'm not saying he's a racist, because if you say it, now you have put yourself in that ballpark of having to prove it. And if you're black in the system of white supremacy, it's impossible for you to prove that a white person is a racist. You better go and get you another white person.
Okay.
To call that white person that you just called a racist, get that white person to say, to back you up, so to speak, to say, yes, that person is a racist. Then you can say, now, that's my proof. Because you can't go and get another black person. If you can do that, here's the logic. Stop and think about it. If a black person could walk into a factory and say, you know what? I think these white people in this factory are all racist. Now, what does that mean? That means absolutely nothing. Zero.
Because?
Because you're a prisoner of war of the system of white supremacy. And it takes a white person to prove, you know, in words, the existence of racism. And anybody who ever tries it will find that out. You don't have to listen to Neely Fuller. Just try it. Just try on your job to prove that a white person is a racist. And you don't have another white person to back you up. Because you can go and get every black person in that factory to say, yeah, they're all racist. Now stop and think about the logic of that. If they allowed black people to do that, what would happen? It would mean that they would be giving up the position of being white supremacists. That's the whole point of white supremacy. You don't let a black person do anything of any significance without your approval. Period. And certainly when it comes to calling them names, you got to have their approval for that name to stick.
Okay.
That's white supremacy. That's proof of the existence right there. You can't get a black person, no matter how many black people say, I agree, I agree, I agree. And just one white person will say, I don't agree with none of you Negroes.
Okay.
On nothing. Out of here, all of you, back to your cells, and shut up.
Okay. The person, this question continues in this manner. It says, should the questions be directed to suspected racists labeled a racist or the suspected racist calling someone a racist?
Should the... Wait a minute. I'm a little bit confused.
Okay. He says, should... this is piggybacking on when a suspected white supremacist calls another suspected white supremacist a racist. That was the original question. Then they asked, what was the response from a victim's point of view, which you gave. Then he goes on to say, should the questions be directed to suspected racist, labeled as a racist, or the suspected racist calling someone a racist? Who's the question directed to?
Depends on what you intend to do with the answer to that question. What information are you seeking and how do you intend to use it?
Okay.
So, you know, you can direct a question to anybody. See, in the form of a question. See, that's what codification is about, questions and answers. That's the best way to handle any situation. You go into it with a question. Always tell black people when in doubt. Put what you have to say in the form of a question, because the person who is in the questioning position, people can very seldom attack you. It can be done about asking a question.
Yes.
All right? Because you're just saying, I'm just seeking information. You know, why am I seeking information? Because I don't know the information that I'm seeking. I have a question, but I don't have an answer. Because every question has an answer. Even if the answer is, I don't know, that's the answer at that time. All right? And then the next thing is, now try to find out the answer to the question that I don't know the answer to. So you always just, you know, any question, you can present it to anybody. You know, if it has to do with something that has to do with you. Directly or indirectly, because you might have to explain why you're asking that question. They will come at you with a question. Well, so, why are you asking this question? Say, because it might have something to do with me.
Yes. So a person has to be conscious to stay in the counter-racist compensatory code manner in everything that we encounter. Would that be a correct assumption?
Correct assumption in doing what now?
Staying in the counter-racist compensatory code mode.
Oh, always. Codify everything that you say.
Yes, sir. Everything.
Don't say anything to anybody that you haven't codified.
Okay.
Otherwise you're rambling, and that's what will get you in big trouble, when you have to ever say, what I really meant was, or I apologize for having said that. That's what I mean by thought, then speech,
and then action.
Then action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before you say anything, step back, push your chair back from the table, and they'll say, well, come on, give me an answer. And you say, I'm thinking.
Right.
See, that's the first thing in the code, thought, speech, action. Say, sir, if you don't mind, I have to think about this. If you don't mind, I have to think about this. If you will allow me to think about this,
mm-hmm.
sir or ma'am, you know.
Question.
You know, I have to think about what you just said before I respond.
Question before we go to the station break. Why do we, as victims, get out of or off of the compensatory counter-racist code mode? Why do we do that constantly?
Because we've never been on it, really. We never thought that we needed a code.
Okay.
The white supremacists have a counter. They have a racist code.
Yes.
Correction. They have a racist code. And by the time they're around 15 years old in the system of white supremacy, the average 15-year-old white person knows the solid core of the racist code. It's certain things you say when you're around black people, certain things you don't say, certain things you do, certain things you don't do, a certain approach. I mean, when you laugh, I mean, you laugh in a certain place. And when you just keep a straight face, you keep that straight face in a certain place, which you keep that straight face most of the time when you're around black people. You let the black people do all the talking and whatnot, all right? That's a part of the white code, okay? Because like black people, sometimes, you know, we always like to express ourselves because we're not allowed to say very much about anything, so we just run our mouths, a lot of us. So, you know, the white supremacists are taught at an early age. When that black person is doing the talking, you just don't say nothing. Let him reveal or her reveal herself at that lunch table. Just run her mouth and tell everything on everybody, everything that she ever knew,
mm-hmm.
and you just sit there and take it all in. That's a part of the white supremacist code.
Yes, sir.
So when you get up from that table, you know everything about her. She don't know nothing about you.
Mm. TalkTainmentRadio.com, excuse me, is a 24/7 no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news and lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, and religion. Now, here's a couple of or three shows I'm going to mention. Wiggins World, All in the Family, and This is Libby. Now, all of these programs or all of these shows are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Now, if you have never taken the time to invest in listening to these programs, you should. Why? To see what they are all about, the suggestions that they make. What are they talking about, and what does it mean? You might want to do that. Now, here's how you do that. All you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, and at the top of the list, you'll see programs right there. Click on the programs. And there you will see the complete list of all the programs that we feature here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, including this show, The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and then my other show, Talkin' Sports Plus with Mr. Bobby. All this is from TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard. All righty. My name is Mr. Bobby, co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And our on topic today is VGQ, Victims Guaranteed Qualifications. And Mr. Fuller has been discussing what it is and how it works. And we also are learning to be conscious to stay in the compensatory counter-racist code mode, always, so that we can address the issues that we face. All right, Mr. Fuller, from the Gmails, from Mario, he says this, What is the compensatory definition of cultural appropriation, such as dress, ways of talking, music? And can cultural appropriation occur between non-whites, or does it occur only between whites and non-whites?
Well, I don't have that term in the word guide, cultural appropriation. And so the procedure when somebody uses that, like I said earlier in the program, when somebody used the term cultural appropriation, ask the person using the term what it means. And don't move to the second question before that first question is asked. You want to get the definition down, and you want the definition explained in a way that you understand it. Don't just say, well, I think I know what you mean, so let's go ahead with the conversation. No. I have to know what you mean. Otherwise, you're going to have the one thing you don't want in any conversation, and that is what? Confusion. Now, the word culture in the textbook word guide is what? What you're doing at the time that you're doing it. That's all culture is. So culture appropriation, if you're talking about somebody doing something that's similar to what the other person is doing, all people do that. In answer to the question, if I understand the essence of the question, all people do something that somebody else does. So if you're talking about similarity or duplicating, we do that. You know, lots of people sit in chairs. It's not just one person on the, on the planet that sits in a chair. You might see a person sitting in a chair in Rome, and then in Portland, Oregon, you see another person sitting in something similar to it that you call a chair. That's, you know, and you say, is that cultural appropriation? Hey, I just left Rome, and I saw a guy sitting in a chair. Now I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I'm seeing this guy sitting in this chair. Now, is he appropriating that guy sitting in Rome, appropriating his culture? He's trying to steal his culture away from him. No, he's just sitting in a chair. That's the way that works.
Yes.
That's all that is. Mm-hmm. Everybody, walking down the street, how many people walk down the street? Is that culture appropriation?
Mm-hmm.
Culture is whatever you're doing at the time that you're doing it. And if it's something similar to what the other person is doing, so be it.
Okay.
The only thing that you're interested in is whether it's constructive or non-constructive. Keep focused on that. That's the thing to focus on.
Okay. According to Wikipedia, cultural appropriation is defined as this. At times, this phrase, cultural misappropriation, is the adaption of elements of one culture by members of another culture. This can be controversial when members of a dominant culture appropriate from disadvantaged minority culture. Culture appropriation is often considered harmful and to be a violation of the collective intellectual property rights of the originating minority cultures, notably indigenous cultures and those living under colonial rule. Interesting. There's a lot of stuff that would have to be dissected in that, but Mario wanted to know what was that and what is meant by that, and what was your take on that cultural appropriation?
Well, I didn't invent that term, and I'm not going to use it.
Yes.
Because I say culture is whatever it is you're doing at the time that you're doing it. That's logic. That's counter-racist logic, because I can stay focused on what it is I'm trying to do. And so the only thing I'm trying to do is divide the difference between what is constructive, what is non-constructive, and ultimately whether somebody is being mistreated and whether or not the person is who needs help the most is getting the most constructive help.
Okay.
Ultimately, that's the type of universe
Okay.
I, as a victim of mistreatment, is supposed to be aiming at.
All righty.
And anything that puts filling in that pie, I'll go for it.
Okay.
Anything that doesn't, leave it alone.
Okay. With that being said, what you just said, Victor Palmer says, what is constructive engagement? Mr. Bobby, can you ask Mr. Fuller what he meant by his statement as follows? Quote, no people who are confused are going to be constructively engaged, end of quote. What did Mr. Fuller mean by this statement?
I mean, just what I said, constructive, and I gave an illustration earlier in the program. You're talking about not mistreating people. You know, go for justice first. Justice is between people. Balance between people. So you go for the definition of justice.
First.
Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
And guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. 24/7, all over the planet. Nonstop. That should be everybody's goal.
Should be.
Should be, in order to have what? A thing called justice. If you don't have that, you don't have justice, which is why justice does not exist nowhere on the planet. For one thing, right off out of the gate, it's impossible for justice to exist in a system of white supremacy. And the system of white supremacy is the only real government on planet Earth here in 2019. There is no other government other than the system of white supremacy, racism, in capital letters. There are no other governments at all, period. Why? Because that government trumps, excuse the pun,
yeah,
all other governments, all right? That's the bottom line government and the top line government. And so everybody caters to that government, the system of white supremacy. That's the name of it. Not the American government, not the Russian government, certainly not African governments, Asian governments. It's just one government on planet Earth in 2019, either true or false. Now, this is just Neely Fuller making this statement, and I'll stick by it. The system of white supremacy is the name of that government. No American government exists in the system of white supremacy. Why? An American government would mean that you have justice. Justice doesn't exist anywhere on the planet. An African government doesn't exist. Why? Because the word Africa, according to the word guide, counter-racist word guide, is what? The same as the word America. No different. Africa, America, Asia. The three A's. Africa, America, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
In any order. Asia, Africa, America. They all mean the same thing. What? People who practice justice. But you don't have Africa. You don't have Asia. And you don't have America. Why? Because you have the system of white supremacy. Asia, Africa, America means people who practice justice, and it's impossible for anybody to practice justice in the system of white supremacy because the system of white supremacy is the dominant government, and it guarantees that justice doesn't exist in that system.
Wow. I got to leave it right there. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app. To your cell or to your tablet, podcasts are also available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. More of your Gmails and on the subject of VGQ. All that coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Thank you.
entertainmentradio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Ready to warm up from this cold weather? Cruise Planners will help you find find the perfect vacation spot. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, the Caribbean to Las Vegas to Disneyland, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrip.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on talktainmentradio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cellar or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Today being Wednesday, March the 20th, 2019, and the topic is VGQ, Victims Guaranteed Qualifications, what it is and how it works. 1-877-932-9766 is the number you could call to get into the show. But right now we're taking Gmails, and here's one from Bill. He says this, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby, I thank you for taking time out to answer these three questions. So we'll start with number one. Mr. Fuller, what is your say regarding why young black males are not progressing in academia and or education like the girls or other non-white and people and people are?
Oh, I would have to find out, but I have my suspicions, and my suspicion is that, you know, just asking myself the question. For instance, in the Northwestern Hemisphere, why is it that the average black male gets completely tired of school at any point, particularly around the ninth grade? I mean, ready to hit the streets. And what does the logic tell me? That he doesn't see where he's going to benefit from what he's being told in that classroom. It's not made clear to him. And I think a lot of black students in school, they say, we got a high absentee rate, you know. Why is it that a black student would rather be in the streets or at home or at a hip-hop concert in the Northwestern Hemisphere? It would seem like when they open the school doors, if it's really something, I mean, that's overwhelmingly beneficial, that they would be knocking each other down to get in there. I mean, that's the logic. People usually will gravitate towards whatever they think will really benefit them, will really be of some real benefit. People just automatically. You know, that's why people rob banks, I mean, do anything. Change towns, change jobs, try to get upgraded to another house. But why is it that when it comes to what they call education, that so many millions of black students say, I don't want to be bothered with school. Oh, I got to go to school. I don't want to be bothered with school. I mean, you know, I hope that bell rings. Let me out of here. It should be just opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Move out of the way. I got to get in this classroom. I can't wait to get here. I mean, when they close, I mean, when that bell rings and tells me I got to leave, I just can't stand it. I start arguing with the teacher. How come we got to leave so soon? I mean, you know, I've been here 8 hours. I mean, that ain't no time at all. I'm having so much fun. This is the greatest place in the world to be. There's no place on earth than this place right here called school, sitting in this chair, listening to you, Miss Greenwood, telling me what you're telling me. There's no place. You can't name a nightclub or any place. You can't name a TV program or anything that's better than where I am right now.
Okay.
That's the way school should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And somehow we got to figure out a way to have every black student thinking just that way. I mean, they're crowded outside that door, and you actually have to have guards, I mean, just kind of trying to keep them out. I mean, you know, because they just want to knock down the door getting in there.
Okay.
Shoving each other out of the way. Now, why is it that we are not like that?
Mm-hmm.
We got to keep asking that question, because that's the way it should be.
Yes.
All right.
He goes on to say, and I think you may have just answered, but he says, what can we do to change their feelings toward education, you know, the black male's education?
That's it.
Yes.
Find out what it is that we are not teaching, because everything comes from what you've been taught. I mean, you know, people go on TV and, hey, I wrote a song. I got a guitar and I got up on the stage. Now, I got everybody running around here trying to raise some money, people stealing it, some people robbing, some people out there in front of the place trying to scalp other people for tickets and whatnot to get in here to see me do what? Play this guitar or jump up and down and run around in circles, I mean, and call out different lyrics and whatnot. And they're just all shoving and pushing on each other. I mean, and those that couldn't get in are out there arguing with the people about how come they couldn't get tickets. Now, why isn't it that way when it comes to doing anything of constructive value? It's because of what we've been taught prior to this, all right? It's been taught by the greater teachers of the society. And who are they when it comes to black people? The white supremacists.
Yes.
They set us in that mindset where anything of constructive value, we are taught to run from it. And anything that's completely stupid, we are taught somewhere along the line of running to it as fast as we can. Something's going to wind up being absolutely destructive. We, as black people, want to be as much a part of it as we can possibly be.
Okay.
And then cry about the results.
And finally, he says this, number three. He said, Mr. Fuller, you have said that the number two people activity is sex. Now, let me stop right there. I don't recall you saying that. Maybe you did, but I don't recall you saying that. But I'm reading it as he wrote it. He said, you have said that the number two people activity is sex. What is the number one people activity and why?
White supremacy. If I recall correctly, I have said things like that. That's somewhere in the textbook.
Okay.
I mean, that's the greatest motivating force among people on the planet here in 2019 or any other year during the existence of white supremacy is white supremacy. And whatever the white supremacists think and whatever they steer people to do, that's what you're going to see people doing. All right, for the most part, even reluctantly, they'll do it because that's what supreme means. I can make you do it. And you ain't got no options because you ain't got sense enough to do nothing else on your own. That's what the white supremacists say to the whole black world.
Mm-hmm.
Nonstop. 24/7. You don't have enough knowledge and understanding to do anything that has power to it like I do. I am the smartest, most powerful person that you have ever seen anywhere. That's what the white supremacists say to black people all over the planet, and they proceed to prove, really, at that very moment that they're saying it, they're proving it. Say, hey, you know, I can do what I want to with you. And you have to have somebody that looks like me to come to your defense, because you don't know anybody that looks like you that can defend, that can protect you from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. All over the world.
All over the world.
Right this minute. Now, I gravitated away from my point. What was the other point that I said? Sex.
Yeah, sex.
Right. So, the greatest motivating force is the system of white supremacy, all right, among the people of this planet called Earth. Now, the second greatest, which is a natural force, is the urge to be engaged in something sexual. All right, now, there are some people who are what you call asexual, meaning they don't have any sexual drive at all. But most people have some type of sexual drive, even if they don't recognize what it is, like a person when they're going through what they call puberty. They just got some feelings, you know, but they can't recognize exactly what these feelings are. And that's why older people sometimes, when they're aware that a younger person is getting these feelings, and that's when you have the molestous movement. They look for that. They wait. And sometimes they don't wait until you have these feelings.
Yes,
they just
sir.
Start doing what they're going to do, and you don't even know what they're doing. Because you don't know anything about sex. You don't have sex drive yet. But they definitely want to catch you when you first start having that sex drive. And then that's a child molester. And so they steer it. And the white supremacists do this with all non-white people. They steer our sexuality.
Yes.
That's why I have it in the code book.
Okay.
They take our sex drive and they do what they want to do with it. Like right now, they got all these different sexual categories and they piling on more. That's to do what? Because they know that non-white people have a lot of sex drive, and if it goes its normal course, they know what will happen. So they're not going to let that happen. So now they're dispersing it. They're going to take black females as an example. All over the world, non-white females, and say, you give up on these non-white males because they ain't good for nothing and whatnot. So they say, yeah, well, I have sex urges. I got to have somebody. Say, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have some of you pretend that you are males, and we're going to help trans over. We're going to do a trans job on them and have them be imitation or fake males, and you be the female, and then you have to have support, and we'll give you plenty of support, because the long-range idea, because we're going to need plenty of you, and that is to do what? Why are we doing this with you? Why is this important? Because one thing, we can have you together all the time in a very structured setting. Now, what is this structure setting going to be in the future? Military. One black female with another black female in that pup tent together, if they still have them. All right? Worldwide. All right? And they are in there having imitation sex, because that's what it is, imitation. All right? All kind of extra tools and a kit and all this kind of stuff, okay, to make it exciting. But they are in the military, so they'll die in each other's arms, because we're going to be stirring up a whole bunch of stuff all over the world with other non-white people, and we want you to be in these foreign legions and be on these battlefronts, because a whole lot of the males ain't wanting to go, particularly the white ones. So we're going to have a whole bunch of non-white people in military settings in the future. And they're going to not want to run off and go home, because they got their home with them, that other partner that they got.
Wow.
Very scientific. The most scientific people in the history of the world.
Yes, sir.
Those white people who believe in white supremacy.
Okay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And our show title today for Wednesday, March the 20th, 2019 is VGQ, but it is at this time, and we are a little bit over, maybe 5 minutes, but this is the time that we designated for Mr. Fuller to talk about your book. So, Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
Oh, you can get the book that that covers a lot of the things that I'm talking about, most of the things. Some are not. I'm doing ad-libbing and whatnot, but most of the things that I've been saying on the air today and the years before are in the textbook for victims of white supremacy. So that's why I keep trying to steer people toward reading the book or glancing through it at least every now and then and getting some type of focus and clarity about the world that you're in, hopefully. That's my intention. Just get a frame of reference out of all this chaos, all this stuff that's going on, and why it is and who's engineering it and for what ultimate purpose. And then you can figure things out just in your daily comings and goings, because mm-hmm. that's what the book is supposed to be designed to do.
Yes.
If you are classified as non-white, a textbook workbook for victims of racism. And if you consider yourself to be a victim of racism, that's what I wrote the book for.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. And all the instructions for ordering plus other information is there.
Okay. All righty. This Gmail comes from George. He says this. I quit my job at the bank 13 years after 13 years, and I wish I'd never had to get another. Of course, it was my black manager that caused it. Post-traumatic slave syndrome is the norm for most of us. Anyway, Mr. Fuller, I have seen blacks and whites interact for a long time, and I've noticed something that Mr. Fuller might find interesting. We already know that blacks hate blacks more than anyone else, but I've also noticed that whites also hate whites more than anyone else. They tell me this all the time. When they were still in the caves in Europe, they were slaughtering each other nonstop around the clock until someone taught them to focus their aggression on us. On the others rather than us. What does Mr. Fuller have to say about that? Whites seem to always self-implode in about 200 years, although I'm not saying we shouldn't continue to fight racism, white supremacy. But what does Mr. Fuller say about that?
Well, it's in your face. It's a matter of, just study what's going on around you and study what has happened all down through the years in the system of white supremacy. The white supremacists have always fought each other. They fight all the time. And I use what I do, I try to, so that people can understand it in a simpler manner. That's why I keep pointing out that movie, Godfather 1. The Corleones in Godfather 1, a gangster operation, all right? And the Barzinis, another gangster operation, but they're all gangsters. They fight each other all the time. But like in the scene where they were all came to the table, which they all do, in what you call, quote, unquote, real life, they come to the table. And what did they do in that scene in Godfather 1, a mm-hmm. classic scene,
yes.
I say. You can study it over and over again. They came there accusing each other of doing this and doing that and saying, who killed whom and whatnot.
Right.
And how the operation is going.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, they said, how are we going to all make our money anyway? I mean, because ultimately that's what we're in business to do.
Yeah, to make money.
Yeah, to make money. That's what we're here for. And so, and right now we're not making any because we're going at each other.
We're going at each other,
that's
right.
That's why we call this conference, to kind of figure out what we can do to go forward. Now, we will still be going at each other, but we're going to be making money while we're doing it, all right? That's the way the white supremacists think.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, so they say, Well, what is going to be our source of income? And one of the characters stood up and said, hey, we're going into this drug business now. But now that drug business can harm all of us. We don't want to harm all of us, all right? Even though we are competitors and we kill each other, we'll continue to do that every
yes, sir.
Now and then.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with the business. But mostly, we're going to make who suffer as a result of our operations? Say the colors. See, that's white supremacy right there in your face.
Absolutely.
In the scene in the movie The Godfather. The guy said, we are going to sell the drugs to the coloreds. And they won't know what we are doing because they're dummies. They're animals. So, you know, let them lose their souls.
So sell drugs to the black people.
We'll make a whole bunch of money off of
mm-hmm.
it. And we'll continue to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
That goes with the territory. But we will dominate everything that they do.
Even though we're fighting one another.
Yes. See, and that's what black people can't understand
right.
about white supremacy. I mean, a lot of black people don't understand that. They have so-called, what they call, civil wars.
Yes.
They gave it that title.
Civil wars, yes.
Yeah. And what do they do at the end of it? Shake hands.
Shake hands.
Shake hands and say, okay, all you black people that were having a good time while we were fighting, get back in your place. And they both gang up on us every time after they get through fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're fighting each other, they don't let us get out from under them.
And the thing about that is when you do your research on that, you'll find who is financing the war, because war is money, is big business. So who benefits from the two parties going against each other? And we all know who that is. Bankers' wars.
Well, it's the white supremacists because money is nothing but a vehicle for doing
exactly.
whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
Money has no value at all.
None.
In fact, the best money in the world, the most reliable money in the world, is what? A black person in the system of white supremacy.
Woo.
A black person is money. They'll tell you that, you know. My slave ran off last night.
Why don't we understand that as
hey,
black
that's
people?
My money in the bank. I mean, nah, I ain't got no money in the bank.
Nah.
You better go get that Negro. You know?
Yes.
I'll give anybody a $2,000 right now. I mean, I'll borrow it.
And
I mean, that's one of my best Negroes.
Mm.
I mean, he did more work than six white folks. All right? And I want somebody to catch him and drag him back here, and I'm going to give him a good whip and make sure he doesn't run off again. I mean, you know,
sounds like
I'll give you three or four of my horses, my best horses.
Sounds like
that Negro that ran off.
Sounds like a bounty hunter. Go get him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you had plenty of bounty hunters. You had slave catchers.
Slave catchers, yeah.
They spent their full time doing nothing. That was their job.
Yes.
Right.
They got badges for that. They, you know, and paddy wagons and all that kind of stuff.
Handed out awards.
Yes, they did.
Hey, that's one of the best slave catchers in this whole valley.
Still do.
I mean, you know, if your Negro runs off, you just get this, send for this guy. He'll go get him. Frederick Douglass talked about one of the best slave handlers, like handling animals.
Yes.
Was a man named what? Cubby.
Cubby.
Yes, that was his name. And Frederick Douglass said everybody knew about Cubby.
Cubby.
On Maryland's eastern shore.
Mm.
I mean, all the white people knew him. All the black people knew him. Hey, you're scared of Mr. Cubby.
I wonder if he would.
When Mr. Cubby gets on your case, your case has been had.
Yeah. I wonder if he was a cousin of Willie Lynch, if you get my meaning.
Well,
you never
you know.
Know.
They all, you know, there's a lot of slave catchers and a lot of slave handlers.
Yes.
You know, they say if you got a real bad slave that's hard to handle, you got to whip him all the time, send for Covey.
Mm.
Covey can break him. I don't care what kind of slave he is.
Well, yeah. A bad Negro, a Bendigo.
Yeah, a bad Negro.
Yeah. All right, well, Mr. Fuller, guess what? TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. For those of you who were, thank you for listening. Sorry about you couldn't get a call through, but maybe next time. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, and we will see you next week. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.